Welcome to Women in WP,
a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community.
Hi, welcome to Women in WP. Today's episode is sponsored by Ninja Forms, allowing you to build beautiful WordPress forms without being a developer. I'm Angela Bowman.
And I'm Amy Masson.
I'm Tracy Apps.
Our guest today is Innes van Dijk, joining us from The Hague, the Netherlands. Innes offers customer support and consultancy services and also frequently speaks at WordCamps and runs the Donate WC nonprofit, helping people travel to WordCamps. That is awesome. Welcome, Innes.
Thank you for having me.
We like to start off each episode asking our guests how they got into WordPress. How did you get started?
When I was 22 years old, I became a single mum. I had done some university, but then quit, didn't have a degree. And this was the height of one of the financial crises. You get the point. So single parent, no degree, and everyone's looking for a job. So I wasn't going to get hired by anyone ever. And then I figured I've always had an interest in building websites for myself, like a hobby. Why not try that as like a from home kind of job? So I taught myself PHP and then very quickly kind of found WordPress as a platform that allowed both my clients to learn it very quickly and for me to kind of build and extend whatever I needed to do for my clients. Found community within the WordPress environment and never left. That's pretty much it. So yeah, that's how I got started.
Well, I love that it seemed like you found the community right away. Is that what I'm hearing?
I think maybe a year after I really started working for myself, came across the concept of a WordCamp and I was like, I'm in the field, might as well go and have a look. And then kind of randomly decided to apply to speak because I figured, well, they're never going to select me anyway.
So I was doing WordPress for years, like 6 years before I ever discovered the community. So I was wondering, like, how did you discovered it and then you just signed up to speak at your first WordCamp?
Yeah. This was under the assumption that they were never going to invite me.
And?
And they did. Yeah, no, I was... That was a bit of a shocker. I don't quite remember. I think it was through Twitter that I found other people working within the environment and then kind of decided to keep an eye on what they were doing. You know, keep up with the news, and then what do you know, I'm on a stage somewhere.
I love it because this actually reminds me, the first WordCamp I ever went to, I spoke at, because I was asked, because I knew people in the community, but I wasn't like really like going to events and that kind of stuff. And one of my friends was like, hey, we're looking for some more speakers. You want to apply? I was like, yeah, sure. Why not? I'll do this. And I'm speaking at the same time as Lisa Sabin Wilson, who literally wrote the book on WordPress. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, well, no one's going to come to my talk. But they did. And I was like, oh, that's crazy. And then we had a competition to see who was loudest, because we were literally the door. She like peeked in. She says, can you all be quiet down there? I was like, okay, well now let's be really loud. And we were having the best time. And I mean, it was crazy. Like I did not expect that. And I was like, hey, sure, that's a great first WordCamp experience. Just speak. Why not?
Yeah, they put me on the big stage too.
Of course they did.
I need to know what this talk was about.
It was on customer support, actually, or it was on providing support to WordPress end users, because this has been like a thing for me since I began in the whole WordPress world. is we've got so many people building so many beautiful things, but then when it comes to actually providing the support on the products that have been released, a lot of developers go, well, I already provided my services for free, so I don't have to do this anymore. So I've been arguing for like 12 years to please, please, please take care of your free users, because that's what keeps our ecosystem going.
So, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I agree. Like my, I actually did a talk. Anytime I have kind of one of those like crotchety curmudgeon, like get off my lawn moments, I actually get inspired to write, you know, WordPress talks. And one of them was, for, because like the WordPress admin, when you have, you're making a site for a client, that client who is going to be adding things to the website is also one of your users. And if they can't use the site and update it, then it is not right. successful.
Right.
So what kind of feedback do you get and do you hear from end users?
It really, really depends on their level of comfort when it comes to doing technical stuff. So you have the end users who really don't want to do anything that even remotely looks technical. Anytime it requires them to turn on their computer, they go, I don't want to do this. I know it's necessary to have a website, but I don't want to have to do anything with this. To like, you know, I've done a lot of plugin support. I've worked at Automatic for 6 years. So I've done support for WooCommerce for 6 years. And there you get either developers who are using the plugin to extend whatever project that they're working on. And they are generally fine, right? They know what information you need. They know kind of where to go. You don't have to direct them every single freaking step. If you go, you need to go here, they're fine. To people who have installed upwards of 75 different plugins and then go, it's crashed and I've, can you please fix? And I go, I've not, I'm not going to poke around on your website. It's very nice of you to have given me admin credentials straight off the bat.
Yes.
But I'm, you know, just not going to do that. So it's very diverse, I would say.
My experience, I felt that same kind of thing, and one of my big things lately is because when I'm doing a lot of contract work, I'm kind of outside of the WordPress world, and then you know just even being like on TikTok, where the kind of the attitude towards WordPress outside of the WordPress community is kind of, it's not great. And that's not going to be sustainable for us as a community. So, you know, having that, okay, well, we need to kind of keep an ear to the ground and keep working towards making that good user experience. That's an invaluable like space in the community to keep this community going strong.
So I was looking at your website for your, you know, support. And so are you just doing support now for WordPress? You're not building sites?
No, I don't build anything. I the only code that I touch is for my own personal project. Or if I need to look at, is this a bug or expected behavior.
And do people like individual peoples hire you to help them with their website or what my understanding? No. Okay.
No. So what I do is I was talking about these individual developers building nice plugins and themes and stuff. You have a lot of them that build something that grows exponentially to a point where they're spending more time doing customer support than they are doing development. And then the entire bit of support gets dropped down the toilet because they go, well, I've got a product that actually makes me money. I'm not going to bother with this. So either they're going to drop it or they can hire me. And then I work with a bunch of freelancers who also do support. And as a team, we can then handle whatever plugin it is that you're developing.
Okay. That is, I have not talked to anybody that does this particular niche of support. Are there other people out there, or are you pretty low on competition?
I think I have a pretty unique concept, because if you look for WordPress support, the thing that you get is people doing maintenance. So offering maintenance packages for people mm-hmm. who have a website, but no one who targets, you know, plugin developers or theme developers specifically. So I've not found anyone.
That's amazing, because we did have Kathy Darling on the show, who is a plugin developer.
I work with Kathy.
You work with Kathy. Is she one of the people you help support?
Yeah.
That's perfect, because she talked to us about how much time she spends in support. And she also has her career as a professional athlete. And she needs to be very cautious about her time. And she also wants to spend as much time as she can improving and developing her plugins. And you could spend literally all of your time doing support. And a lot of that support, you can train someone else to do, at least to kind of go through and see, is this just a user question? Are they just not understanding how to use the plugin? Or is it a real bug and I need to figure that out and report it up to her? And then we spoke with Stephanie Wells with Formidable Forms, and they have such a huge user base. They have a pretty big, they have a good support team, but it's still a lot. And so then they spend a lot of time doing documentation and tutorials. Do you find that that's also a niche for this support, this customer support is helping with documentation and tutorials?
It's the whole thing. So it's not just answering tickets. It's also building internal documentation. So the next time they're looking to actually hire someone full time, all of the information is already there. It's setting up and creating macros or snippets that they can reuse. It's looking at documentation needs. It's looking at, one of the things I'm doing for Kathy is taking the internal snippet database that she has and turning it into usable, shareable snippets on GitHub.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, it's a lot of stuff. And one of the things that, one of the goals that I usually have with the client is I want to take them from, I'm doing this by myself, I'm overwhelmed, I don't know where to go, to a point where they can securely, safely hire someone to actually be their employee, without having to worry about how do I do this? How do I transfer all of my information over to this new person? So it's taking away a lot of the anxiety, a lot of the pressure on these developers looking to grow.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant.
And are you only doing like plugin developers, or you like work with agencies that have support queues?
Both. So, but the bigger teams, what I usually come in for is consultancy. So I look at what the work they're already doing. I analyze the quality of what they're doing. And then I give recommendations on what I think they could do to make that even better.
This is fascinating.
I'm blown away.
Yeah, I gotta ask,
you work with Kathy.
I could ask questions about this like all day.
I want to go to a whole day workshop. Just with
You know, or like a webinar that just teaches those of us that like have an agency or a plugin or whatever, how to be better, more efficient and run our support. Do you have any webinars we could watch?
not yet, but I can work on that.
Have you, I mean, that's something that I would be interested in. Just, I would pay to watch, just, you know, or your next WordCamp talk, you know, how to implement an effective and efficient support queue, because I feel like
we were just talking about that,
terrible at the same time. So
yeah, before we started this episode, Amy was lamenting about time blocking, and I feel that pain where we're not having the time we need to build the sites that we're committed to build, because we're so pulled off task all the time by the constant emails and support needs and how to manage those and be responsive and not be cranky.
Well, I think what a lot of people tend to overlook is how big of a job customer support really is. A lot of people kind of look at it from a perspective of, oh, well, I worked in a call center because I needed money and I did that as kind of a part-time job. But a lot of people don't realize how much of a job it really is and how much it touches within a company. So it's not just responding to customers that come in with a question. It's, you know, noticing trends. It is discovering bugs or problems within the product that the product team needs to be aware of and that your development team needs to be aware of. It is working with the product teams to discuss which features need to be happening because we see this happening with our customers. And if we take a product this way, it's going to work better than if we go that way. So it's absolutely really diverse. And in the end, it's still a job that represents your company. So if you've got a support team that you're undervaluing and that you're not taking care of, that's what your customer's going to see, right? They're not going to see how beautiful your product is. They're going to see, hey, I had a really crappy experience with your support team. Yeah, I'm not going to pay you any money more anymore. I think where we skip a lot of opportunities really is within the customer support team and hiring someone to do that work for you if you've noticed that it's overwhelming.
And like, how many companies are you working with at any given time?
At the minute, I'm working with 5. But because I'm also working with freelancers, I can scale that up. And I also have clients who come in for like a singular analysis or quality review. So it depends.
I mean, I'm overwhelmed by my own support queue. I'm thinking about going into 5 other companies' support queues, and it's like blowing my mind.
Well, when I used to work at Automatic, we would do live chat support. And I would have up to 5 or 6 conversations at the same time.
That's amazing. So tell us about your journey, a little bit more about your journey. So you started with single mom, teaching yourself PHP, learning to build websites, getting to know the community, but then and you were doing this freelance work, but then at some point you ended up working with Automatic and then you ended up creating this new job. So take us through that.
So I worked as a developer for 3 years. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. I did that kind of work. And then the clients I was focusing on were female business owners with either working individually or with a small business. And the reason I did that was because when I sat down with them, the feedback I got from every single one of them was, it's really nice to be able to sit down with someone who's technical, but who will not make me feel like I'm incompetent when I'm asking questions. I feel comfortable sharing that I don't know something because at no point do you make me feel like I'm wasting your time asking these things. So I became really good at translating stuff and going, okay, hang on, how do I actually focus on making not just the women, but everyone feel like they're open to share with me when they don't know stuff? Right. So a lot of looking at what language am I using with people? How am I explaining this and how can I do that better? And that kind of naturally pivoted me towards doing freelance customer support. So I actually did this job that I'm doing now way before I started working for Automatic. And then I got invited to the community summit in Philadelphia, spoke at WordCamp US afterwards, and then from there got hired into Automatic.
Wow.
That's also when I started Donate WC.
And did you know, was Patrick Rowland working for WooCommerce when you started?
Yeah. So yeah, we were in the same team.
Oh, that's fabulous. So Patrick's in my city area.
Oh,
so
cool.
We're friends. Yes. He's wonderful.
Yeah.
So you spoke at WordCamp and then you started working at Automattic.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a plan?
No. No, I got bullied into sending in an application.
Oh my goodness, that's hilarious.
Hey, Women in WP listeners, this is Tracy with a quick message from our sponsor, Ninja Forms. Wish you could build forms for WordPress without spending forever or recruiting help? You can. Ninja Forms is the WordPress form plugin that is both extremely flexible and easy to use. Create contact forms, order forms, donation forms, and more in literally minutes using pre-built templates. Easily customize with form logic, upload fields, multi-step pages, and more. Just drag and drop what you need where you need it. Integrate with hundreds of services like MailChimp, Google Sheets, HubSpot, and more without needing to write a line of code. Get Ninja Forms now at ninjaforms.com. And now, back to our show.
Okay, who is bullying you?
I say bully, and I mean that in the best terms possible. I still have a very good friendship with James Huff, who still is on the support team over at WordPress.org. And I was part of the moderator team. So we sat down and we were talking about, you know, how are we going to do this over the next year? And he was like, have you applied to Automattic? And I went, no. And he went, you're gonna, right? And I went, but they're never gonna hire me. This is the thing. I expect things to not happen and then they happen and I get really surprised. Imposter syndrome, yay. But yeah, no, it really wasn't the plan to get hired. I thought I'm just gonna shoot my shot and see what happens. And then I got hired pretty quickly afterwards, straight into WooCommerce. And then I never left up until very recently.
That makes you such a great match for Kathy Darling.
We worked together for years because she would be in my Slack channel that I kept an eye on. So, you know, we had a lot of experience working together already.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And tell us about WC Donate.
Other way around. Donate WC.
Donate WC. Sorry.
So the experience I had with going to the community summit and then WordCamp US straight after, that was a 2-week travel. And, you know, I was doing pretty well, but that entire travel, even though I was staying at a hostel where I had to share a bed with 3 other people, it still cost me more than a month worth of income.
Whoa.
You know, yeah. And I was like, if someone who's from one of the richest countries on the planet with a decent income is having trouble affording attending something that's really going to dictate where everything is going to go in the next year, who else are we missing here? Because that just means we're cutting off the majority of the world. You know, you have really active WordPress communities in places like Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be able to afford that. Not in their lifetime are they going to do that, even if they're invited. And I know that by now there's some initiatives to make that easier for people. But certainly at that time, it didn't exist. And, you know, it's not just the big work camps. You have the small ones as well. If I have to travel to another country and stay in a hotel for 4 days or 5 days, that's a lot of money to be spending. And if I'm just getting started, or if I'm in a position where I really can't afford that, I'm just not there. And we all know that everything happens in the hallway tracks.
Right.
And if you're not there, then your voice is just not heard.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured, you know, we've got all of these companies sponsoring WordCamps. Why don't we pull money from these companies that have a surplus and make sure that the people that we need to have within these community summits, within these big work camps, etc., they can just go and not worry about the money. And that's what we've been doing for since 2017 now.
Wow. That who are we missing here is key, because like that is one of the things that I see about being a sustainable community and standing the test of time is that having a diverse set of people at the table making those decisions. And you're right. Like that is some, there's no reason why that shouldn't happen. And we miss out on all of that amazing information that we would be missing out on. And we're just seeing the same people over again.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think that it's such a crucial need. And I think that's really amazing. I'd love to hear kind of how many people you've sent, how has this all been coming out in practice? Because I love this.
I don't know the number off the top of my head. I think about a dozen people that we've sent now.
Nice.
More or less. But then obviously the last 2 years with COVID, there was no in-person stuff. Yep. So the whole thing was dormant. So, but we are restarting it now. So if people want to sign up for a sponsorship, they can over at donatewc.org. You can submit the sponsor application form either for yourself or for someone else if you feel like someone is really deserving of receiving such a sponsorship. And then we kind of do due diligence, difficult word, on whoever sends in the application. So we look at, you know, their contributions to the ecosystem and what people are saying about them. We don't just randomly hand out, you know, travel vouchers for everyone, but it is open to anyone, in particular, you know, underrepresented folks. So people with disabilities, people of color, you name it.
I can't believe we're in the 80s of these episodes and this is the first time I've ever heard of this.
I think that's my fault for not doing marketing really well on it.
We are going to go gangbusters. So I'm doing a talk on Friday and I'm going to put this on my last slide as what can you do to help women in WordPress?
That's amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, I can't believe I've never heard of this. Are you, I mean, is it, I mean, you're not in the US and we're in the US. So are you mostly sending people, you know, to work camps like around Europe or?
The majority has been in Africa, actually.
Okay.
African communities. The first one we had, his name was Trust. And he was in Zimbabwe. And this was right when Zimbabwe's economy crashed. And he said, he sent in an application and said, I booked a ticket, but everything is cancelled. I would be able to go, but it's now everything costs three times as much. Would you be able to help out? Because he was traveling to work camp Cape Town. And we went, yeah, cool, do. We book you a ticket and go. And he went and then sent me a photo of him by the sea going, huh. And that had been the first time he saw the sea in his lifetime. And that was just, that was the first person that we sent. And it was just such a, like, I'm doing the right thing here. This is doing the right thing for the right people kind of feeling. But yeah, it's a really worthwhile thing to be working on.
Literally donating right now.
Thank you. Awesome. I hope it works. <'Cause it's>
I'll let you know as I get through the process. I'm
awesome.
Love that.
All right. I think it's working. Donating with PayPal.
I'm doing it too. PayPal.
So everybody that's listening to this, be like me. Take it. Pause the podcast. Go to donatewc.org and make a donation. It's not that hard. It's in euros, so you might have to do some currency translation, or you can just pretend like it's the same and donate. So I did it. We all can.
This is like a telethon now.
I know, right?
Yeah, we can definitely promote this through our podcast on a more regular basis too.
Well, and I know that, you know, you mentioned Nigeria. We've had several people from women from Nigeria on the podcast, and I know that mm-hmm. they have a really thriving WordCamp or, you know, WordPress community. But to get like to somewhere like, you know, out of Africa or to Europe or the US, that's really expensive.
It's massively expensive. Yeah. I mean, a plane ticket alone will, for a lot of people, be a month worth of income. And then you're not sleeping anywhere, you're not eating anywhere. You know, so it's really hard for people who are not being sponsored by companies to get around anywhere. And I sometimes wonder if that's why we're being so pushed to go to a local work camps rather than the big ones. Speculating, not sure.
I also did the click to tweet. And so now I tweeted my donation. So that was a really handy thing right on the end of the form. You donated, click to tweet. Oh, look, I can do that. I can also, you know, tell other people to do it too. So everybody should do that as well.
Yeah. I like how clean the interface was for that. There was no distractions. It was just easy.
Oh, look, Angela, you did more than me, Angela. You just went and donated and just showed me up.
No, I did.
Well, I did 50 euros and you did 100.
Yeah, I was a little flush. I won't be so flush after I get back from Europe, though.
And just to put that into perspective, if we're talking about sending someone to a work camp in Nigeria, that's food, hotel, and things like a SIM card, internet covered in those two donations. Done.
Wow. Well, and I know when we interviewed the ladies in Nigeria that they are working like primarily from phones.
Yeah.
Unlike, you know, yeah, here where I'm sitting here with, you know, four screens in front of me, it's just a different environment.
But this is the thing. These are the people that you need to put next to, you know, the people spearheading the next WordPress release and have them go, this is what I'm working with. This is what I'm running into. These are the problems that you need to solve if WordPress is to be a usable platform for my community. And if you don't, I'm going to use a platform that does do these things because they have a presence here. And that's what's missing, because these people, you don't see them at the community summit. That they are not there.
You're right.
Yeah. And if you travel to Africa, which not very many people do, but I have, you start to appreciate, you know, the level of tech, you know, the internet speeds,
yeah,
the unreliability in things and that need for the flexibility of devices and bandwidths. So I think it kind of goes both ways. Like, we need to get people here, but we also, those of us who have the means, maybe should go to WordCamp in Nigeria and then have that, build that empathy to bring it back to make changes.
I mean, if you have an interest in SEO, WordCamp Cape Town is fantastic because there's a lot of SEO stuff going down there that I know of. Obviously, it's where WooCommerce was born. So there's a lot of people who have very specific knowledge in that area. So yeah, it makes so much sense to travel more to areas that maybe would not make a lot of sense to you initially.
Yeah, I love this so much because it's not just somebody saying, oh, we need more people at the table. We need more people at the table. It's, you're doing it. You're like, yeah, making it happen. And that is what's so fantastic about this.
Thank you.
So when you transitioned out of WooCommerce from out of Automattic, like what helped to get you on your own and how is that different from you not working with a company and working? What are the pluses and minuses of that being on your own?
I thought I was going to have like a quiet 3 months of slowly ramping up and gently networking and starting my business. And then within 2 days, my inbox had exploded to a point where I was like, I think I need to hire someone now because oh no. So where I thought I was going to be not very busy, quite the opposite. That's a good thing. I mean, I went from the expectation of not being able to pay my bills and having to rely on savings to, oh, look, I can pay all of my bills this month. That's actually pretty awesome. I think the main thing is that, in particular, owning like an agency is that you can't really take a day off. So you can't say, do you know what? I don't feel like working this week, so I'm going to chill out for like a week. That's not really a thing anymore. But other than that, I mean, I've been doing this job for a decade now. So it's not very different. It's just the seeing different faces from having the same team for 6 years. That's a big difference.
Yeah, I totally hear you about the, you know, not being able to really disconnect no matter what, you know,
right.
On any vacation, I always take laptop. I'm always checking in, even if I have people, you know, taking care of things. Yeah. I'm also a control freak and that doesn't help anything, but you just can't, like, people, you know, you can't just shut down your business for a week.
Right.
Yeah, I did send an email to all my clients, kind of, you know, I kind of try to make them believe that I'm taking a month off.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I just see that, they just won't get any wild ideas while I'm gone. But, you know, inevitably I'll be, I was in Lisbon in a museum and had to sit down on a bench and solve some PayPal issue on someone's WooCommerce site on my phone. So they're talking about phones and I fixed it. You know, I fixed it in sitting on a bench in a museum. And then I was gone on to continue my sightseeing.
Well, this is the thing, right? If we look at usability, right? If that's the thing that we're going to touch on, usability is not just for people who have the disability. It's for, you know, me as a mum of a small baby having one hand free to do the thing. It's going to help me as much as the person who's missing an arm, right?
Yes.
So making sure that people who predominantly need to use their phone in order to do websites, listening to them and making sure that the web is usable for them is going to be incredibly useful for a society that lives on their phones, not out of necessity, but out of desire. So if we're going to look back at, you know, why should these people be attending the places where decisions get made? That is why. If you want to be selfish about it, that is why.
So important.
Yeah, with Gutenberg, I used to be able to really just do everything on my phone if I needed to. You know, it may not be the best experience, but I could navigate the whole WordPress dashboard. I used a page builder that kind of was toggly, so it was easy. I could do everything I needed to do in that, you know, because it had toggles. But now with Gutenberg, you can't do really anything on the tablet or phone in a practical way without a mouse. And I use Elementor, can't do anything at all on a mobile device. So it's frustrating for sure. Yeah. And I love what you're saying about accessibility. Accessibility is for everyone.
Yeah. When I'm teaching that, it's like, you know, yeah, I might have low visibility, but I also might be using my phone and there's a glare, you know? And so it's one of those things where that thinking about accessibility is for a fraction of the population is not accurate. I want to be careful of low connectivity speed for people that are on mobile only, that maybe do not have Wi-Fi, maybe they don't have unlimited data, but also I might be in the middle of nowhere traveling and I need to do something and I have really slow internet connection on my phone.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of factors, and and having people remind, you know, because when we're developing in our like broadband with all of our screens, it's really easy to lose sight of that. And there's another reason why I think just traveling to places and going to these WordCamps, not only meeting people and seeing how people use the products out in the world, but, mm-hmm. you know, understanding people's situation and like, and then getting outside of our little bubbles of our little offices and, you know, computer setups. And it's just going to make for better design. It's going to make for better code. It's just better products,
right.
Everything.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, it has been amazing having you on the podcast today. And we first want to thank our sponsor, Ninja Forums. And before we go, can you tell everybody where they can find you online?
Yeah, so my website is qualityinsupport.com. That's for all of your support needs. And then obviously donate wc.org for everything to do with WordCamp travel. If you want to find me on Twitter, I am Mother of Code.
Awesome.
Awesome. Good stuff.
Well, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening. Interested in being on the show? Sign up on our website, womeninwp.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and join our Facebook group to have conversations with other women in WordPress.